And well, as I've been telling you, Ellie Beer was scheduled to join us here at JM in the AM. He's, of course, the head of United Hatzalah. When I spoke to him last week, it sounded like he was at the beginning of a whirlwind mission to the United States. I think it's the first time he left Israel since Shemini Atzeres, if I'm not mistaken. And then in the middle of the night, he sent me a message. He did not sound like he was prepared to go on the air this morning. It sounded like he was up all night dealing with stuff. But Baruch Hashem, our good friend Dovi Meizels, who is the vice president of operations at United Hatzalah, and we've had him on the air before, and he's been at Ellie's side for God knows how long. Baruch Hashem, he's with us live via telephone so we can find out how these incredible first responders have been dealing with the first 22 days of this war. A simply remarkable effort by all of them. Dovi Meizels, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Nachum. What a pleasure to be on.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, you guys, as always, I mean, anybody who visits Israel and certainly anybody who lives there knows that United Hatzalah is there for everybody. Every emergency, small or large, and most emergencies, frankly, aren't small. Emergencies to families are always large. And you're always there to respond with an incredible force of first responders around the entire country. Where did you guys even start on Shemini Atzeres morning? How did you know what to do, where to go, where to begin to try saving lives?
That's such a big question. I mean, I can't believe it's already 23 or 24 days already into this unbelievable war that was forced upon us. But if to try and look back a little bit to Shemini Atzeres, to Simchat Torah by us, well, everybody was, you know, at their homes at 6:30 in the morning. Well, most people, I guess, were still in bed. I was by my parents in Efrat ready to celebrate my son's bar mitzvah, which he was supposed to go up and have his aliyah on Shemini Atzeres.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, what started this whole thing with the missile attacks all over Israel and the sirens, the air raid sirens going off all over, made it clear very fast that there's something bigger than just a missile attack. I don't know how weird that sounds, like a normal missile attack. There is no such thing as a normal missile attack, but Right. Unfortunately, So obviously, immediately the volunteers all gear up, especially the ones down south where they brace for impact when there's a air raid sirens, whether they're to Tel Aviv or to Jerusalem or to around Otef Aza.
But before we even get to that, I have to assume that as people are experiencing terrorists coming into their homes and into their towns and into their homes, I'd have to assume, especially with the inability of a regular person to get in touch with the army, I would assume they started calling you guys.
Yes. I was just getting there. I mean, I was just the sirens at 6:30 a.m., but minutes later, we started getting phone calls from people in Sderot and people in Netivot and people in Ofakim, calling in about gunshots, about explosions, things that aren't typical to a missile attack.
Right.
And the volunteers obviously sprung into action immediately and, you know, jumped out of their house, not even understanding a clear picture that this is a multi-front attack. You know, everyone thinks it's just in their town. And obviously, Bar Mitzvah gone, I'm on the way to HQ to dispatch there to try and create some sense in this chaotic situation. And we have volunteers in Sderot, which jumped out of their homes and went to respond. And one of them calls in on the radio and says that he sees an officer down on the road. So he pulls up next to him with an ambucycle. Chaim Sassi is his name, a rabbi. And he pulls up on his ambucycle, starts treating this policeman who was shot. He calls over the radio saying that this is a policeman shot. It's not an air raid attack. This is not missiles. And immediately before he even finishes that message over the radio, he sees a terrorist on an ATV racing towards him with the AK-47. He immediately pulls out his gun, and before he even got to shoot, he was shot by a terrorist, and he managed to shoot the terrorist and kill him. And he even called on the radio saying that he took out the terrorist. And as far as he thought at that moment, the incident was over. But then came the gunshots, and he was hit three times. Baruch Hashem, he survived this. He just got discharged a few days ago from the hospital. But he was lying on the ground there treating himself, putting a tourniquet on his leg, bandaging his face. And until he was dragged by other responders that were there into the nearby police station, which later, we all know, became a death trap there and a war zone with the special forces and police. Unfortunately, eight policemen lost their life in that police station. And other volunteers that were responding had gunshots at their cars, miraculously got out without getting injured. And I mean...
But the scene,
it was the beginning of chaos.
But the scene you're describing played out in so many different ways and so many different scenarios on that day, of course. And by the way, you mentioned Ofakim, and I know there's a direct road, and that's likely why the terrorists, you know, decided to make their way over there. But it is, I mean, and I know that we always call it, you know, part of the southern region. It's far from the Gaza border. I mean, people who don't realize, you know, how far east and how far south, this we know from our friends who are sitting in the Shalom Hotel now from the south, we don't realize how far east and south the terrorists infiltrated Israel. Look at a map, folks, and read the articles about what went on in Ofakim. What a terrible disaster. Dovi Mizels is with us, Vice President of Operations Ichud Hatzalah, United Hatzalah in Israel. Ellie Beer is hopefully getting some rest, frankly, after the couple of days here that he's had. Dovi, we know, obviously, because we've been repeating the numbers over and over again, we know how many soldiers to this point we have lost. And I also have read articles that describe the number of police officers and security personnel, meaning official security personnel, that have been lost. And the numbers are astounding. How did your group do? Did you lose a lot of members on Shmini Atzeres?
Unfortunately, two of our members were killed on this attack. One of them was responding. He's a security officer at his day job and a volunteer from Kiryat Malachi. And unfortunately, at the beginning, he was one of the first ones to go into one of the kibbutzim and fight the terrorists head on. Unfortunately, he lost his life in this battle early in the day. Wow. And the second one was a volunteer who was on standby duty at that peace festival in Re'im. And he had called in saying that there's an attack. And he started treating the victims there. And he treated them actually for an hour. It was an hour and a half that he was treating the different victims there until, unfortunately, they killed him as well. We've had a number of volunteers get injured from the shooting, from a direct missile attack while treating our own Moshe Weitzman, who was on the ground, under fire, treating for 4 days, treated hundreds of victims. On the fifth day, it caught up with him, and unfortunately, he was running out on a call, and a direct missile hit next to him, and he was severely injured on his leg. He underwent a number of surgeries already, and they managed to save his leg, but he's looking at a long rehabilitation process. Unfortunately, we have some volunteers. One of our volunteers from one of the kibbutzim is one of the kidnapped.
Oh my gosh!
Volunteer.
Oh my gosh!
And the numbers. And the crazy thing is, you know, when they say there isn't a home in Israel, there is not a home in Eretz Yisrael here that doesn't know someone, is a neighbor of someone. It's not fair to say it's just by us in United Hatzalah. It's everyone in Israel.
Look, this is one of the...
Our friends, our friends' children.
Yeah, this is one of the things we discovered last week when we were there. And it's one of the messages, frankly, I've been trying to transmit to everybody. We on this side of the world don't understand what's going on. Every family between the Shivakols and the Shloshim and the kidnapped and waiting for them to come home and the injured, the wounded, and the thousands. And every family is affected so much and is in such agony and pain in Israel at the moment. And unfortunately, that's the case. People like to think that things might be better than what they're reading. But it's a tough situation. Now, a lot of your volunteers, I'm assuming, are displaced. I mean, if you had volunteers in Stay Road and in Kibbutzim in the south, and people who worked and volunteered for you guys all the way up north, I'm assuming they're not even home at this point.
So yes, I just want to add on to something that you mentioned before about the numbers that are unfathomable. We're talking about an incident with over 5,000 people injured,
right,
and over 1,400 killed.
Right.
This is proportions you can't even comprehend. To compare it to 9/11 is like 35 times 9/11.
Yep.
To put it to American proportions per capita.
Oh, we know.
Now, yes, regarding your question, yes, a lot of our volunteers from Sderot, from the Kfarim and Otef Aza, from Ashkelon, from up north, from Kiryat Shmona, from all those areas have all been evicted. And we have our own refugees here in Israel. They are refugees in hotels and in hostels and whatever.
Yep.
And yeah, it's a major challenge. There are 300 plus thousand people who are displaced in Israel.
So Kiryat Shmona is completely empty.
None of the cities are actually completely empty. The government can't force you to leave. They recommend, they push, they provide. But every one of these towns has some people left in them. And more than that is in every kibbutz, in every town, you have the kitot konenut, you have the security forces that live there, that are there to protect their homes, right, from kibbutz Dafna to kibbutz Manara to Metula. These are people who live there, and they're staying there to protect their homes. It's so hard to even understand.
Yeah. Oh, no question about that. Dovi Mizell's with us, Vice President of Operations for United Hatzalah. I hope people around the world have been helping you guys, because, you know, we keep talking about equipment and needs for people in the Army, and obviously we're not minimizing it, just the opposite. We're encouraging people all day long to give to those different funds. But I'm assuming that you guys are also being inundated for requests to volunteer, especially for those who can't get into the Army. They may have the skills to join your unit. And I would assume, just in terms of safety measures in regular areas that you serve, you've got to enhance all of that for your members. I mean, am I right? Are you on some type of campaign now? And I don't just mean financial campaign. I mean campaign in general to protect your service men and women as best as possible.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's no question. We got to remember that besides the war, there's all the regular calls. People,
right,
don't stop having heart attacks. On the contrary, they're having more.
Right.
More women are going into labor and induced birth. I mean, you've got, we respond to 2,000 calls a day before the war. We're talking about much bigger numbers now. We're talking about campaigning on bringing more volunteers, and of course, campaigning to raise funds, because we, on the first week of this war, poured out more equipment than we use on a typical year. Trauma gear and things like that. And the worst is probably even yet to come. Looking at what's going on with Hezbollah in the north,
yep,
with Yehuda and Shomron, what's going to happen there? We don't know. We do know one thing's for sure: it's going to be long. We're talking about months. We're not talking about days and weeks.
That was also an eye opener for us. When we met with one of the leaders of the communities from the south in the Shalom Hotel, he said, "We are prepared to be in Jerusalem for months away from our homes." And it struck us how, you know, we're so used to things going quickly. This one's not going to be quick. You know, the Ichud Hatzalah means United Hatzalah. and many are making a very big deal, rightfully so, of the unity that has been established among the Jewish people because of what happened on the 7th of October on Shmini Atzeres. And of course, it continues till now. It should please continue and grow forever. But you've felt this unified effort even before this war. Are you getting the impression from Jews around the world, I don't know, maybe through donations from groups that may not have supported you in the past, maybe some groups that are not always, you know, out there on the front lines when it comes to supporting things in the state of Israel, or maybe on the other end, groups that, you know, may have been hostile to Israel in the past. Are you feeling the love? Are you feeling the unity of all Jews from around the world?
So the answer is yes, absolutely. The sense of unity is tremendous, both locally here in Israel and also from around the world. I'll tell you one thing. This war broke out with this atrocious terror attack that's on a Nazi scale, okay? It's worse than ISIS. Yeah. And we'll be able to talk a little bit about that afterwards. But I'll tell you about the unity. I heard something very, very nice at the beginning of this whole thing. This terrible attack happened on Shmini Atzeret. And the war, the name of the war is the Iron Swords. But actually, it should have had a different name, because up till Erev Shmini Atzeret, this country was torn apart in diversity and arguments. You couldn't daven on the street. They should have called this something totally different. We make the bracha on Shmini Atzeret of Mashiva Ruach Umurid Agashem. This should be called the War of Mashiva Ruach, because it returned the spirit and the Ruach of Israel.
Wow.
And we feel it here, and we feel it from around the world, and it goes to show all of our enemies that it doesn't matter what atrocities you do against us, how many kids you kill, women you slaughter, families, and it's the worst of the worst of things we've never, ever, ever imagined. And I've been through 30-plus years of terror waves here in Israel. The bomb attacks, the suicide bombers, none of it came anything near what happened down there, down south. Here on Shmini Atzeret in 25 towns and cities. This, they never contemplated our enemies. One thing is that when Omdim Lechaloteinu, we are Mashiva Ruach.
Wow. Dovi Mizels, Vice President of Operations for United Hatzalah, is with us live via telephone. Their incredible humanitarian services are absolutely free. They are universal, and they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All we ask is that you support their efforts. And by the way, there are plenty of people in this audience who've benefited directly from United Hatzalah, including me. I broke my elbow that time in Yerushalayim, so of course the first people we call are our friends at United Hatzalah. Anyway, IsraelRescue.org, a very easy website to remember, IsraelRescue.org. Again, IsraelRescue.org. Be as generous as possible. This is one of those groups that's got a proven track record. They didn't pop up on the 7th of October. They have a proven track record. They know how to utilize the money to get the equipment and to enhance whatever needs to be enhanced to make their services better and better. All right, Dovi, you just alluded to it. The worst scenes you've ever seen. Look, people like yourself have been at the Sbarro bombing. You've been at the Park Hotel. You've been at random attacks in different cities in Israel. You've seen, in the past what terrorists have done when they've entered the bedroom of Jewish children. We don't have to go into too many details, but again, you came into this whole experience having seen all of that, and you're still telling us, and obviously we know you're right, that none of that compares to what you saw during and in the aftermath of this massacre.
So during this massacre, hundreds of our volunteers were responding, and the reports coming back to the staging areas and to everywhere of the scenes that they're exposed to there. I won't go into the graphic details, but families slaughtered, kids killed, terrible, people burnt. I'm not even talking about just a simple execution. I'm talking about
I guess we'd say brutal execution. I don't know if there's that much of a difference between the two.
It's not human beings cannot do what happened there. This is monsters, and they killed Jews, and they killed and they killed not Jews, and they killed Arabs, and they killed the foreign workers from Thailand. It was just blood-hungry monsters.
Unbelievable. Whole thing is unbelievable, frankly. Are you guys back at full strength? Are you now, like today, on a Monday, are you operating the way you remember operating back then? Or because of the war, things are very, very different for Ichud Hatzalah?
So, like I said, the regular calls keep happening. We're on full strength and more because we understand we need to provide for the woman who's giving birth or going into labor, and we need to respond to the person who's suffering cardiac arrest just as much as the person who's hit by a missile or shot by a terrorist.
Yeah.
So our volunteers are doing much more than they regularly do. They're giving in more hours. They're taking rotations on the ambulances down south and up north because the families that live down there have been evacuated. But those who are still there need the medical attention. So we have extra rotations on all of our ambulances and dozens of ambulances throughout the country, north and south, supporting these areas where families have been evicted from. So it's more than what we were.
By the way, Dobie, we should point out, When Jews in the Ukraine were in trouble, you guys went there, right? You went there in boots on the ground and helped as much as you could.
During the war on Ukraine, in the first 3 months, we had over 700 volunteers, 30 Boeing jets, hundreds of tons of equipment with field hospitals and life-saving equipment and humanitarian equipment. And when the earth quaked in Turkey, the lovely Turkey that is so out against us now,
yeah,
when their ground shook, we sent our volunteers to rescue their citizens. When the Moroccan ground shook just before Rosh Hashanah, our volunteers spent Rosh Hashanah in Morocco saving lives on the ground. Whenever a disaster happens anywhere, we're there.
Yeah, no question about it. And that's, I said universal before. I need people to understand that it really is universal. You're making an international Kiddush Hashem. Not that the work that you're doing in Israel is not vital. Believe you me, we know it is. But at the same time, you're making an international Kiddush Hashem constantly. That's the easiest way, Dobie, right? The easiest way for people to support is IsraelRescue.org.
Absolutely. On the website, find how to donate, what means you can support. Everything you can do is important. It's going. We're restocking. We're looking at months ahead. We don't know if we've seen the worst yet, honestly speaking. We have big tefillah. We're davening.
Yeah.
But we don't know what we're facing up against. We know the threats, that's for sure.
You're amazing, Dobie. Send our best to Ellie and, of course, to all your volunteers. And Bezrat Hashem, we'll see you soon in the Holy Land.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Nachum. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Unbelievable. The work of United Hatzalah, unbelievable. Yeah, they didn't start October 7th. And I'm not criticizing those organizations that did, by the way. I'm not criticizing them at all. Just when you have an organization that has a proven track record and really knows how to deal with situations, you know that there's a tremendous return on your investment. And they have proven it over the years. United Hatzalah is accessible, and you're able to donate and support their efforts at IsraelRescue.org. IsraelRescue.org. My thanks to the Vice President of Operations, Dobie Mizels. And good luck to Eli Beer. This is the final day of his trip to the United States, which I hope has been a great success for him, the organization, and for the Jewish people that he represents. More coming up. You're listening to a Monday morning edition of JM in the AM.